What's going on, everybody? This is Mike Baker, and I have Mike Bennett here with me, and we are doing the Microsoft recap. Today's topics we're going to be talking about Slack and Slack's plunge after Microsoft released their Teams software, or, well, the adoption of people using their Teams software up to like 20 million users so far. We're also going to talk about Microsoft delays with their earbud alternative, or their competitor to Apple's AirPods. And
I got something to say about that. Hey, go ahead.
I want the future of them AirPods and earbuds and all of that stuff. I think it's gonna have some health implications about that, man, coming soon, for real. Microsoft Outlook and their integration with Gmail, Google Drive, and Google Calendar, and the partnership of those two companies, Google and Microsoft, like, they are definitely crossing each other's paths a lot lately, like, particularly Microsoft. Like, Microsoft is definitely doing something, because they cloning a lot. They just using a lot of Google's resources. Way more than you would expect them to be. Like, they definitely like riding Google's wave right now, and it's benefiting them, for real. Let's talk about the Slack product first. So with the CNN article, Slack stocks had plunged after Microsoft has this Teams product. Microsoft, if you already know, if you don't know, if you ever use Office, Microsoft Office, or have used the new Microsoft Office 365, Microsoft now has this product that they call Teams. You could think of Teams like a social network for your business. It's a resource that allows you to share documents, collaborate with each other, communicate with each other, do video chats, regular chats,
record video sessions.
You have this whole conferencing type platform that allows you to share documents and just essentially get as much work as you can get done in a web platform, in this platform, while being in remote locations. There's so many people that are located in different places that are just doing work all around. And one of the biggest issues have always been like just emailing everybody back and forth with document after document. And like this whole new era of productivity and collaboration is changing. And Slack has been like one of the big leaders in the chat platform, because they sort of revigored the chat room for a while. Like, you know, chat room sort of died out, and then social media came into play, and like there were all these groups and whatnot, but there was not really like a chat system, and they sort of went back to chat. Like, they had, you know, Facebook has messages, and, you know, Google has Hangouts and all this stuff, but Slack sort of geared themselves with a chat room system, where essentially you can create this overall channel or this overall room, and then create these little sub channels of categories of topics to essentially build chat rooms in. So if you got like, I'm in a couple of chat rooms. I'm in a group called Be More Black Techies, and we have a Slack chat, and, you know, generally we're Baltimore Black Techies. We're technical people in this group. And, in there's sub chat rooms where there's different topics about tech that you can talk about. Mm-hmm. And in each one, you can jump in there, and there is this whole media heavy component where you can upload videos to it, you can upload pictures to it, drop links in there, and it's still a chat room. And I mean, chat rooms sort of never really peaked after like the AOL days. They had IRC out there, and like people still use it, but IRC was definitely more like a programmer's chat room. And Slack sort of just picked up where that open space was, and they built it out for people that wanted to have their own segment. One of the main things that was great about Slack was that they privatized it, and they was pushing the idea of having their information always be encrypted on there. And essentially, it was like it was a free to start platform, but then you paid in like really quickly, real soon, to actually like build that out as your own private community. And now Microsoft has Microsoft Teams, and they're basically eating slash lunch with it.
Well, you know, I look at this. This is Microsoft doing what Microsoft does best. You know, Microsoft didn't make the first PC.
No. Right? Yeah, right.
But I mean, everyone, you know, has, it's pretty much the standard in all, you know, in all workplaces now. You know, you're more likely to get, you know, a PC that has Windows installed on it than anything else. So
Steve Jobs hates Bill Gates. Yo, reason why he hates Bill Gates.
And when I look at this, exactly right, man. I look at like what's happening here. This is just the nature of the company. They I forgot who said it or like where it came from. And it makes a lot of sense how they say that the way that the company moves is heavily dictated by like how the founder moved, right? So you look at like just what Bill Gates does. He's known for his, you know, his uncanny ability to come up with to reinvent things, mm-hmm. as well as he's just like a workhorse. I think the statistics, something that's like a stat came out saying that he never really took like a day off, like he never like something like went on a holiday break or anything like that. Stages, right? So you look at what's happening here with Slack. First of all, I didn't even know that they was like in a space where they were competing, right? And Slack, mm-hmm. is pretty much known for like what you laid out, Mike. All of the pretty much being a glorified and well improved chat room where you're able, mm-hmm. to have, you know, a lot of encryption there. You're able to create subgroups and stuff like that of people that come together. You know, it's like they've minimized a lot of the things we look to do on like social media traditionally. But yeah. What I look at the reason why, just for one, Teams has climbed the mountain so fast, and why it's probably knocked Slack off of that seat of being champion, is because of all the things. One, the presentation, and then two, it's all the things that comes with it. I think that originally Teams was built on top of Skype, I believe it was. Or was it something like that, right? Yeah. It's built on, and one of the issues that we ran into with Skype was that we would send messages back and forth, but it wouldn't save, right? It was some things that were just kind of like, it was primarily, I've only pretty much used Skype for business. And one of the things that we ran into with that is like, you know, trying to share files and video chat and stuff like that. So what Microsoft did is went back to the drawing board, took this base idea, added a whole lot of other things to it. And pretty much, you know, they did what they accomplished what Slack was trying to accomplish of really perfecting, you know, having a minimalistic approach to a social media. Right. And then inserting that into the corporate space and branding it as a means that, you know, kind of revolutionizes, you know, the game a bit. So
improvise. It's not like pushed with ads around it, and they're not just collecting your company data and pushing like, you know, Facebook has like Facebook for business and like social network for Facebook for your company. I mean, like, nobody wants to do work in there for like Teams and Slack stuff because they know that they're reading your data.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Slack was big on being able to be that private platform, but yeah, you're definitely correct on that. Microsoft is getting the bigger win because they have the whole other Office suite, and like as an incentive, you have this Teams solution. And like, yeah, they bought Skype out a while ago, like maybe about, I want to say 3 years ago. Mm. And they've slowly been modifying it to be a web-based platform, to be like tightly integrated with Windows. I mean, when Windows 10 came out, it basically was just a part of Windows 10.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it needed to happen. Like they were always looking for some way to get into the market of messaging and communication, and that was basically what they had. I mean, it was a dominant player on its own. Like no matter what, you always heard of Skype without ever really having they didn't have to do any like partnership or anything. It was just like Skype on its own is good enough. Mm. And Like they originally Skype sort of had the same business model as what Slack does. It was like, we offer you, you know, video chat communication, but if you want more, if you want to have like your own phone number and all that stuff, then you pay more. And it's a private independent service. Now that it is part of the larger Office 365 service, it just makes it a lot easier. And it makes it so that people don't have to make that decision. Like, well, what platform are we going to use for this type of communication? You already are using Office 365. Right, it just makes sense for you to just stay in there and use Skype. I mean, use Teams, because it's right there. All your documents that are uploaded to OneDrive, anything that you have, any document spreadsheet that you've created, all of that is just integrated in seamlessly.
Well as they have, like, I guess we're going more into like the technical stuff of it, but what I like about it, like for the layman to put it, is you're able to, I've noticed that with Microsoft Teams, what sets it apart from the, you know, basically why I did what it did to Slack was because several things with the, just the user experience, like Slack from my perspective, and just me, again, just coming from a user experience, has been more so like they branded themselves as more something you use on a mobile device. I never really use Slack like in any of my jobs for like primarily doing stuff like on a computer per se, right? You maybe have talk back here and there, but it just didn't have the feel of like it being clean and crisp where, like you said, because Microsoft Teams is like integrated into the Microsoft Office like suite, Office 365, like it just made the experience so much more smoother, as well as you're able to open different web pages in it. So it just is a part of, I guess he's seen what Slack was doing, seeing where the where they could improve, and then they improved upon those things, gave it back to the marketplace, and you know, this is what you have. Slack pretty much plummeted.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically the small business alternative. Like, it was the system that you can get that would allow you to be able to do those type of video chat and they don't have video chat, but able to do those like chat features, the chat functionality, without having to buy into a larger system. Like, if you already had your email somewhere else, you already had your documents in some other format, or if you already had like Microsoft Word or something, but you still wanted to be able to chat with other people in other locations, like and do collaborative work, it was there for that. Like when I was working at a call center a while back, we didn't use Slack, but we used IRC, and like our call center, we had two chat rooms. One was the spitball room, so that we could just talk shit with each other while we were taking calls, and the other room was basically so that we could actually get help from another tier person if we had to deal with a client on a phone call or something. Like, it was just a community room, and we're all just like, hey, I got some issue here, some issue here. Or if we're in another room, we're just spitballing and joking, and it's just chat rooms. But I could see that type of platform being integrated into something else. And like somebody using Slack to do that same thing. They did have these chatbot features. I wonder how those are being implemented into something like Teams. I haven't gotten a chance to use Teams. I've been using like right now we're recording on Google Meet. I get to use Google Chat, which is essentially going to be another Slack competitor and similar to Teams, but they haven't released it yet. They only released it to like G Suite users under like a beta test. They haven't released it to the mass market. They was going to release it in like October with Google, but they pushed it back again because, you know, it's Google. But but like it's essentially an alternative. But the main thing that was good with Slack is that they had these chat bots that were part of other systems. So like one of the big pushes that people that, you know, even now that Facebook has adopted the whole chat room, the comment section that has, you know, like memes and animated GIFs, that kind of started in Slack. Slack had that communication, and they had the integration with like Giphy using the API, so that you could type something in and Giphy would pop up and say, do you want to drop one of these animated GIFs instead? And it would throw the animated GIF up. So like, it had these integrations with these different services that, and it's the part about being artificial intelligence. So like you could chat to the bot. Yeah, I mean, you can say, hey, Giphy bot, I need an image, or like, hey, Google Drive, give me that file such and such by such and such name. You type that and the chat bot sort of gets it, it understands it, and it gives you the file that you need. And it throws the file into the chat. I mean, so it allowed you to talk to a chat. Like Slack was really kind of big on starting that before like Twitch. You know, Twitch now has the bots.
Another one is Discord, right?
Discord has the bots in their chat room. And Discord sort of it took a lot of ideas from Slack to put into the gaming world, because Discord is really big on having a gaming chat community. And it has a lot of those same features. But like it was one of those things where like you can chat with your people, but then also you could chat with these bots in a normal language and get some functionality out of them like people. Yeah, I mean, so like that was one of the bigger features before, like slightly before the chat bots just started running rampant on like Facebook and all that stuff with the Facebook Messenger bots and whatnot. Slack was kind of the originator to start that stuff. But now that Teams is getting popular, I want to see how they actually implement some functionality like that, because that was one of the big things with Microsoft for a while. It was like when they built API, they kind of built it where you had to have like their biggest APIs originally. You know, APIs are about being able to program into another platform. So right. If I want to create an app, I need a Android API. Or if I want to make an Apple app, I need an Apple API. If I want to create a Windows app, I need a Windows API. And like, you know, Windows sort of used to always be about the licensing company. And like the only way you can even get the API is if you bought a copy of like Visual Code or Visual Basic, and then you can create the app on there. And like now with this open world, open source technology, everything being open source so that anybody can get as much information, be able to create it, whatever app they want. I want to see how Microsoft plays to that with something like Teams and creating chat bots and whatnot for other companies. Like, will they allow a Giphy to create a chat bot for their team so that people start throwing up chat, like animated GIFs?
I mean, you can put, but the thing is, like, you can see it. Maybe they don't have that API fully integrated, but like they already have stuff like that, right? And I think that's pretty much, like, again,
and like, I mean, getting rid of, because, you know, our last article, the last, show that we did, we talked about how they got rid of Cortana. With like what they're trying to do with Google's chat service, because they're trying to replace Hangouts with all these other things that they're going to be coming out with like 2020. But like with Google Chat's Hangout, with Google Chat, they have their Google Assistant in there, and at any time if you feel like you need to ask her anything, you just literally chat to her like you chatting to anybody else in the chat bot, and it comes up with the information. And you can actually do that with messages on the text system. That same app that they were talking about with doing RCS, Google RCS capabilities. When you chat in there, if you don't have it set to private, you can chat in there. It's like an incognito version of texting. But if you don't have it set to incognito, you chat somewhere there like, you want to go to dinner? You know what I mean? Like, the Google Assistant will hop up and be like, do you want me to come up with some restaurant locations nearby? Like, who the fuck was talking to you? I was talking to my girl. You want to be all up in the conversation. You'd be like, yo,
she's definitely the wingman.
I mean, like, you want like meet me at such and such, meet me at Penn Station. Then Google Assistant pops up. Here's the directions to Penn Station if you want them. Like, here, what's going on? But like that integration of having like a digital chat system or just a digital assistant in your communication while you're communicating to assist you without, like, you know, you would normally have to go back and get the link to the directions and then bring them back to chat so that you can paste them and send them to the person for directions. But having that digital assistant in there in the chat makes it just a little bit more seamless. So like even in something like Teams, because what I'm getting to a point is like, if you got video chat, if you're having like video conferencing, and they can hear you and they can see you, that means they're going to have the AI bot see you and hear you as well, because they're trying to do this off of cloud systems. So at that point, you could literally just be like, hey, such and such, bring this document in from what, from wherever, wherever, and it just throws it into the chat, and you ain't really do nothing. I mean, you ain't have to do nothing but be in your video chat, and you communicate with somebody. You say, hey. I mean, it can't be Cortana anymore because they get rid of that. But like, I mean, like, hey, you use Microsoft Teams to bring in Alexa or something. Be like, hey, Alexa, bring up this doc. But Alexa doesn't get into that business. The only person, the other company that gets into that business is a Google. Yeah, I mean, right. So like, hey, bring this thing in, and it gives them the document. Hey, email such and such this thing for me, so I don't have to actually pull out my phone, type an email address, put a subject, put a body, add an attachment, and send it. I'll just be like, yo, send this thing to yo, and you send it, and you know who he is because he in my contacts. You know what I mean? So send it to him and send the document because you know the name because it's in my Google Cloud or it's in my OneDrive. You know the name of the document. I'm going to just say, send this document, and you send it. You know what I mean? They want to get to that point.
All right. I just let you go, man. I mean,
where they all get to you, bro. I mean, I'll be wilding on this shit sometimes, yo, because they'll be like, yo, they be wanting to do too much, and I already know. You got when they reel me back anytime, because I'll be mad about it. Yo.
Look, man, it's raw and uncut shit. That's what we do. It'd be like that sometimes, man. I didn't have, you know, it's a whole bunch of. You know, it's a couple of times we done did stuff, of course, before we officially started, and it's like, man, I go, so trust me, fan. I ain't even, you know,
yeah,
live in full effect. So this is what it's about, cause you know, I mean, I kind of all of what you're saying, yeah, like, I use this every day at my at my job, so I already know, like, I already see a lot of the, like, where it's going and stuff like that. Yeah, you're spot on with everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, I just got finished watching that Microsoft Ignite 2019 thing, and they were just pushing about how they going to be implementing Teams even more. And I mean, I saw that yesterday just because I wanted to see what Microsoft been up to. And, you know, that's their big old release conference and whatnot. And I just be seeing what they dreaming about doing, and they got to put all the pieces together before they can get that dream going. So they just putting the pieces together. I just be seeing it. And that kind of, let's go into this next topic for real, because, like, I don't know, man, they got rid of these chat, the whole AI assistants. So I don't even know what they're going to do with this earbud release. So, like, this whole thing, they Microsoft delayed the launch of the earbuds, which were intended to rival Apple's AirPods.
I mean, it's another instance of getting in where you fit in, right? And sometimes with, you know, that Apple, their company, like, their business model is pretty much like consumer driven, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, they do things where they heavily appeal to, you know, the consumer. Like, they maybe dibble dabble here and there with, like, you know, some business stuff, like business to business, but primarily when it comes to, like, wearable devices or technology that people use in their everyday lives, like, that's what Apple thrives on. That's what they brand themselves as. So when you are coming into the marketplace where, you know, I think I said this before. I mean, it was, you know, I probably say it all the time, right? Because, you know, I do marketing on the side, but it's another instance of when, you know, someone's trying to be the second best leader, and there really is no such thing. You just still a loser.
So first on your likes.
Right, that's what it is. So Apple, you know, that's pretty much what they brand themselves as, everything kind of being in unison, right? From your AirPods to, you know, your like how things are synced to. Yeah, whatever Apple device you have, whether it be your MacBook or your iPhone, like, it's all in unison. And then when Microsoft comes out with something that may actually be better, they haven't necessarily branded themselves as like, when it comes to these type of things, branded themselves, in my opinion, as someone who heavily caters to the user, like the layman, like the user, all the 100%. You know what I mean? So I think it just, Why they delayed the launch is, like, someone in the back office, like, told them, like, you know, whatever it is they were intending to, like, putting the money, investing their money into for this, it probably, you know, looking at some of the statistics, it wouldn't hit as hard as they wanted to. So they had to, you know, pull back, see how the market is going, and wait for an ideal time to launch. Because there's a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes. Somebody's looking at the stat sheet saying, at this point in time, the Apple earbuds, your Apple AirPods don't really sell as much, whether it be like during Christmas or the summer, whatever their stats are, whether, you know, using Google Analytics, right? So once they get all of their all of their stats in, like someone, I feel like they reached back and said, you know, hey, well, there may be some things you got to work out as far as not just the marketing, but even, you know, how great it is for the consumer. So we're going to fall back a little bit, see how everything goes, and, you know, jump back in. And it's another, you know, again, this is what happens when these companies are, you know, trying to be in bed with each other, because it's like they have I feel like this is another instance of, you know, these companies seeming like they have like a baby boy type of relationship. You know what I mean? You know, it's like Jody and Yvette are arguing back and forth, and, you know, he cheating. Then they back to making love, you know, and I feel like, because it comes down to everybody is in tech, you know what I mean? Eventually, you know, on some bigger conspiracy, I feel like all these companies are going to join up. They're going to join forces anyway and become the world government. So I just want to go.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's going to come from a consumer, you know what I mean? But this is, you know, again, they look at it. Maybe they was able to gauge how great this product was going to be because, you know, somehow in their business processes, they, you know, Apple is integrated with Microsoft and vice versa with some software, some device that they use. So they got information on how Apple is doing, you know, how good Apple is doing. So they're like, you know, let's put it out at this time and let's work this in, see how it goes. And let's rebrand it this way. So then when we put it out, we'll be able to get a little bit of money out of the marketplace for this product as well.
Yeah. 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 True. I think with, I mean, Apple is about refinement, man. Apple is one of those companies that is like, they do technology, but they try to do it in a way that treating technology like art or craft. Like they're about polish, they're about refinement. They treat it like it's a vase or like a fucking sculpture or something. Like they only come out with a few pieces of technology.
I thought about the water when you said that.
I mean, Apple water, exactly, bro. Like they only partner on coming out with a few products, and they polish the shit out of the products throughout the years. Like the iPhone has only really been like, you know, they come out with new models every year, but ideally it's really just only one iPhone. And they just polish the shit every year. They clean it up every year. They find some way to tweak it to make it nicer every year. But it's really only that product. And Microsoft trying to compete with a company like that, then they're focused on hardware. Apple only got into the earbuds because they know that they can make a big profit off of polishing the earbud market. Microsoft getting into the earbuds is just trying to be a way to also be in the earbud market because of digital assistance. I mean, and one of the issues is like, if y'all keep cutting off Cortana, what the hell are y'all really going to do with these smart earbuds? Like, y'all don't push Bing like that. Cortana is almost in a grave. She got one foot in the grave. I mean, the real reason that like people like these wireless headsets, they like the fact that it's detached. Yeah, I mean, from the cord, which is a great. It's like when you don't have headphones with a cord, you're like, oh, I don't get it. Yeah, I mean, the battery's going to die and all this stuff. But they do feel, you know, with that little charging case, they have a remedy for that with the charging case. But like, you don't realize the freedom that you have until you have a wireless headset where you just be like, yo, I can do anything. I can do a backflip if I want. You know what I mean?
Part of the reason why I don't exercise with earphones on is because I don't have, I said, AirPods or earbuds yet. Like, if it was better, like, I'll be able to like do all types of my workouts and really listen to the stuff I want. Cause you know, it's the minimal things in people's lives that like would change that would, like, really ultimately change the game. And I think that's what they're looking to do. Like, it just comes with, you know, them refining the process, but they gotta be on par, because you brought up a solid point. I didn't really want them to kill Cortana. You know what I mean? They gave her the, you know, the executioner's blade. And it's like,
Yeah, exactly.
I really was digging the whole idea behind Cortana, how, you know.
I mean, and having that assistant in your ear, man, like that's like
it's key. Like that's
a change. Like even Google has the earbuds that they're coming out with, and their earbuds is supposed to be able to do translation on the fly. Yeah, I mean, so like somebody, what do they call that joint? It's like the Babel Fish. Yeah, I mean, it was some movie, Guardian, like not Guardians of the Galaxy, but like something of the galaxy where like the meaning to the world is 42 and all this stuff. Like, meaning,
okay, I'm gonna Google that.
yeah. Look up a movie with the Hobbit off of, you know, the English dude that played the Hobbit.
Yeah.
And Mos Def.
Oh, they was in this what?
They both of them in this movie,
cast, man.
Yeah, both of them in this movie, it's some galaxy movie. Anybody that hear this gonna be like, yo, it's God, it's the galaxy or something.
Right.
You know what I mean, they like it's a galaxy or something, but like it's basically this spaceship comes out of space and takes this guy on this adventure to figure out the meaning of life, and then he has to be the decider of whether the Earth gets to live or not. Yeah, I mean, and Mos Def is like his right hand man to help him understand why the aliens are deciding to destroy Earth. Yeah, I mean,
Mos Def is already a character. I can see that movie being something.
It's a crazy movie. It used to be an English movie, but like they remade it for America. But nonetheless, like there was this thing in there called the Babel Fish. You put this fish. Oh. It was literally a fish that you put in your ear. And the fish helps you to hear this alien language. Yeah, you know I mean, so you can understand anything. The fish basically talked in the ear, was translating everything. Yeah, you know I mean, so like, yeah, man. So like the real world, like this is a science.
Really wacky. Man.
Yeah, like this is like a science fiction. This is like a science fiction thing that has been in the book. Like the book that originally came out about this, people ran with it, and this is the thing that they've been wanting to have all their life. It's like this Babel Fish that they could just put on their head and be able to listen to any language. You know what I mean, and that's what Google is essentially doing, because you know Google has
name it, the Babel Google Fish.
Yeah, I mean that's what they should. I mean, if they call it the Babel Fish, they're gonna get like 10 million sales. But like, they essentially have it. They have that translate technology in there. They got the Google Assistant in there. It's all powered by your cell phone, and if you need to be able to translate, you can hit do that. And beyond translating, the number one thing you want to do is just listen to music for real.
Right.
And like even when I went to the gym, like I went like Friday, but the last time I talked to this dude, he was in there when he had some Bose headphones and they were wireless and they came with a charging case and all this stuff. And it's like that's the market that Microsoft is trying to get into. So like you're competing against companies whose whole lifeline is sort of dependent on these earbuds. Like Apple's lifeline isn't dependent on their AirPods, but it's definitely a big factor in their like business line right now.
Yeah.
Like they basically pushing that more than they're pushing the watch. They push the earbuds more than they push the Apple Watch. So it's above that right now. And Amazon has a pair that they're getting into.
Right.
Google has a pair. The off-brand hardware makers have a brand like Bose and Sony, and if Microsoft wants to get into this, they got to come into this with a play that other companies don't have, because they are a Apple type company, because they're a Google type company. They can't come in like Bose and Sony. Yeah. They got to come in like Microsoft, and I don't get how they're going to come in like Microsoft if they don't have a Cortana, when Amazon got Alexa. Apple got Siri, Google got Google Assistant.
Who could be whatever? That's another thing what I like about Google Assistant. You can name her. For the shorties out there, you can name the Google Assistant Guillermo.
Yeah, like
you're speaking in you know Spanish.
Yeah, you can change up the voice of her. I mean, you can change up the voice of it, and like, I mean, Google Assistant is like Google be making bigger plays. Like they don't even want it to be like. Just they have their assistant for the consumer base, but I mean, more than likely, I mean, I think we talked about it last week about how Google Assistant is going to be on the Xbox. Like, they make it so that they white label their technology. So, like, at any point, if you got enough money, you want to build your own version. They will strip out all the Google features of their of their assistant, and you can make your own assistant using their technology. I mean, you got the money to play. They'll make it. They'll help you make that technology. So
pay to play.
More than likely, if they pushed it back, they probably pushed it back based on that similar article that we talked about how Xbox is going to be using Google Assistant. They probably are going to build a version of Assistant into these headphones. More than likely, Cortana isn't dead. More than likely, they rebuilding Cortana using Google's technology.
So you think that's going to be the way that they? Because I'm looking at this last article with Microsoft's Outlook. You know, adding Gmail, like all pretty
and
much.
I mean, that's up. Another thing. That's what I'm saying. That's another thing. You know, like they are in Google's ass. I mean, I don't mean to say like they making software for Android. They adopting Android for their new phone, the 2 flip phone thing that they got coming out. They got Edge, which is based on Chrome. I mean, like the software integration of Outlook and like yo, they everywhere in there. They trying.
Microsoft about to be part of Google, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they stripping out the stuff that they don't want to spend money on. It's like there's another company that's out here that's making these white label type services. We'll just use those. I mean, like all these other companies are doing the same. We'll bounce off of them, and if we feel the need to go independent, we'll go independent. But if you can save like $30-40 million in R&D, $100 million in R&D, and just make something that somebody else allows you to white label, like you might as well just go ahead and partner up with them.
Right.
Like at least if you know you can make more off of it. If you know that the outcome outweighs the net expense.
You can cut costs. Yeah, you cut it's always good to, you know, it's like when you say you cleaning up your credit, you need to cut everything out before you start putting stuff back on it, right? So I think that's what they're doing, is that with Microsoft, you take an audit of all of it, you know, what they're good at, see what the things that they can leave, you know, cut off that. And then, like you said, you know, with people who will have white label services, integrate those into their system, their platform, so they can, you know, probably pay them a little bit penny, but leverage that better and focus on still becoming great and maintaining their seat of power and the things that's made them Microsoft, which made them great. Yeah. I think it's a great game plan. For people who are extremists that, you know, feel like they want to buy into the rivalry between these companies, of course they'll insult Microsoft and say that they, you know, all types of weak and all this stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, they're losing the race. But it's like, you think about it, man, from a business standpoint, like that's what it is. It comes down to business. It's not about it's nothing personal, you know. It's and you know, sometimes you got to take 2 steps back to take 5 steps forward. I think that's what you see whenever you see these companies like definitely Microsoft, you know, cutting out certain services that they was trying to, you know, rival the competitors, and they started cutting these out and then start actually using their competitor services or their ex-competitor services. It's just, you know, it's a business move. It's better just to, you know, why fight against it? You know what I mean?
Let's go into this article. Like the Microsoft Outlook thing, like they basically have built out integration for being able to integrate Gmail and G Suite, Google Drive and Google Calendar into Outlook. And essentially allowing it so that you can use both Office 365 and G Suite or Google Apps at the same time. And essentially some of the for email, Gmail, you were able to, do that with Gmail. If you had an Outlook or a Live account or MSN or Outlook. I think
you said 365, you could do that already. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm saying on the other side, like for Gmail, you could bring your email over and, send email from Gmail, even though you're using Outlook. But it was like a sort of a pass through, but like this one is like full on integration, because they making it so that like you can flip between your Gmail and your Outlook. If you're using Outlook and you want to get a document out of Google Drive, you can essentially get a Google document out of Google Drive while using Outlook.com, and like if you have a calendar appointment, you can cross the platforms to make calendar appointments. And like, this is for the web version. This isn't even for like Outlook, the application, because, you know, you could always put any email that you had on Outlook, the app. Like, if you had to program Outlook on your computer, you can basically put any email platform on there. As long as it was email, it worked. As long as it used like POP3 or IMAP, it worked. And like, you can do that. But having this full-on integration service, I mean that they had to deal with development and actually do partnerships. And more than likely, that's going to happen in reverse. But like, I don't know how much, it's like, I don't know how much Microsoft even had to tell Google that this was going to happen.
It kind of seemed like, yeah, you know.
Like, yeah, because like, I mean, Google has this whole open API. All you have to do is essentially create an account and create a key and start coding. You have to put a card in there. If you want to use their API on a large level, you have to put a card in there so that you can start being billed by Google. But like, it's not like you have to have a sit down meet with Google unless you like starting to do something that really bangs up against their licensing and whatnot. But just having that type of integration, I don't know if they actually had to talk to Google about doing it or not. I mean, because it's just an open system, you can already program it. You can already program the Gmail. You can already program the Google Drive and Calendar. It's weird to have Microsoft doing that and to expose and say, hey, we're making this available to you guys. Like, that's a type of partnership. Like, for the past couple of weeks, we've basically been talking about these crazy Microsoft Google partnerships that shouldn't even exist if they're supposed to be in the same business, but they're happening.
Yeah. This is happening.
Well, I think a lot of that is because of that GitHub, man. They bought out GitHub. And
yeah, once a company makes like a big purchase like that, then it's almost like how, you know, when once LeBron, you know, a great example would be like, you know, LeBron being on Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. Long period of time. Then once he makes that shift, it's like the whole league start changing. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
all right, we over here now. This is what it is. People got to start getting drafted different, traded, and all that stuff like that.
Yeah.
You pay ridiculous amounts of money for certain players just to compete. And same thing with these companies, man. Like, somebody make a big purchase. You have a company like GitHub. What's another one that was bought by? I think Apple. Who bought Fitbit? Was it Apple?
Google.
It was Google that bought. You know what I mean? So when they start making purchases like that, companies just start, you know, seeing all types of things happen.
Yeah.
I think this was going on.
But let's go ahead and wrap this up, man. If all y'all need to see us, if y'all want to see us a little bit more or hear our voices, you can definitely find us on all the social media platforms. You got us on Facebook and YouTube. If you want to see our ugly faces, if you want to hear our ugly voices, I mean, you can find us on iTunes, on Gmail, on Google Music, on Spotify, and on Stitcher. But all you gotta do is Google us, man. You'll find us.
Yeah.
We'll make sure of that. But yeah, man, y'all have a good one out there. I hope to hear from y'all soon.
Y'all gonna hear from us soon, so we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, most definitely. Another one in the can, bro.
All right. Peace.
Take it easy.